today on Real Radio.
You guys, less than 3 miles from here was a major Hamas funding, or Hezbollah funding operation that was shut down. Big time. It's happening. Does God know that? We may not know it, but God knows it. Could there be a parallel that because of our immorality and because of our not wanting God in our community, not wanting God in our life, not wanting God, could it be? Is it even possible that maybe God would use Jebusites and the like to come into our area, into our world, into our nation?
You make me, you break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes Israel being in conflict against her neighbors. Now that alone has a resemblance to today's situation, of course, and therefore offers much for our worldview today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a look at chapter 3. It's a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever.
God says, look, I'm testing your heart. You didn't drive them out. You think you can live with them? So let's just see what happens. So what happens? They wind up, you know, oh, look, that Jebusite's really cute. I want to go out with him. So they go to the Jebusite drive-in and they go to the Jebusite diner. They wind up getting married. And God said, don't ever do that. But they wind up doing it. They're sinning boldly, blatantly against what the Lord had said in this intermarriage. And from that moment on, Israel began to go and do yet another decline, a state of decline, because it allowed foreign practices to become part of their culture. They were forbidden to do that. Israel was to remain different from all the nations of the world. God had told them exactly what to do. But listen, they failed to protect their heritage and their culture became vulnerable to these mixed generations with these foreign gods. And they began to decline. It says that they forgot. Look at verse 7 at the latter end. They forgot the Lord their God and served other gods. How could you do that? I want you to think for a moment. How could you know God and then go mess around with some silly idols and statues? How could they do that? How do people do that today? Because of Israel's disobedience to the Lord, the nation began to suffer. And if you look at Israel's history in the book of Judges, and in every time Israel would depart from God, in church, I want you to be thinking about parallels. First of all, Israel went into a moral decline. When they worshipped with these other gods, with their wives and their husbands that they took from these other cultures, they began to become deluded in their commitment to the Lord. Hey, Solomon suffered from the same thing, didn't he? It never mixes right. Oh, I'm a strong believer. Listen, I'm a strong believer and he doesn't believe in anything, or he's a cult member, or he's a this or a that, and I'll win him to the Lord. I know that once we're engaged, I'll win him to the Lord. Or once we're married, I'll win him to the Lord. Okay, after 1 year of marriage, I'm sure I'll win him to the Lord in the second year of marriage. There's no such thing as missionary dating. It doesn't work. It's not smart, plus it's against what the Lord has. He says, don't be unequally yoked. God's truth is eternal. He had told them not to intermingle. What happens? Moral decay. What these pagan gods allowed came into their culture. Secondly, socially. The social structure began to fall apart in Israel's towns and cities. You say, well, that's a long time ago. No, it's happening now here. Social decay. And then what follows? Listen, economic ruin. That's very interesting. I'm not making this up. This is the pattern of cultures. Moral decay, social decay, economic failure. and an inability to defend themselves. When you have economic failure, you can't build an army. And so you can't defend yourself. So when the morality of a nation or a people starts to diminish, church, is America in a sense of moral decay? Okay. Secondly, does America even have a social structure anymore? What is America? People are living in America, they don't even know what America means. They don't even know what America stands for. Economically, America, that's the next thing we're at right now. America is on the brink of economic collapse. You see, Jack, you've been saying that for a long time. I'm going to say it until it happens, because it's happening. It's going to happen. You cannot operate as a nation the way that we are, borrowing from other countries billions of dollars without becoming slaves to those other nations. America is in debt to the point to other nations that we can't pay them. And the average American household is absolutely owning nothing and in debt to everything. And when that happens, we will not be able to refuel any of our airplanes or put people on an aircraft carrier. It'd just sit. And you say, that'll never happen. Oh yeah, what happened to Russia in 1989 and 1990? Remember the pictures of all the submarines parked in Murmansk that were rusting? Because they went broke. They're not broke anymore, but they went broke back then. That's always the cycle. Moral decay spreads to social division, which leads to economic hardship, which results in military weakness. Israel was experiencing all of that because they would not obey the Lord. And Israel's neighbors began to understand that Israel was growing weaker. So they waited and they watched. That's what an enemy who's smart will do. Every nation, by the way, has its enemies. It's just not the Jebusites back in Israel's day. Every nation on this planet has an enemy nation against it. There's no getting around that. It's true. And that enemy nation of yours will watch and wait and look for a weakness. Israel was declining, and they're being socially weakened in all the areas, and the enemies were watching. These enemies were waiting. And think about America and the enemies that America has. And according to the Bible, the Lord is the one who defends a nation that cries out to him. Now, he is completely committed to Israel. It's obvious in the scripture. Church, according to the Bible, Israel is going to have some very rough days ahead. In fact, Jesus said the days that are coming to Israel will be worse than any other time ever. That's yet future. But Israel will never cease to exist. I know there's a lot of people running around that want that to happen. It's not going to happen. When you look at the Bible and you read it from cover to cover, well, regardless of what you think about Israel, Israel's not going anywhere. Now, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood that are really, they're watching, looking for Israel's weakness. And Israel's very weak right now in its political leadership. And you see Iran saying, we got to attack. The mullahs in Iran, they're the ones pulling the strings, trying to get Iran to attack. And their sales pitch, by the way, is pretty good. The mullahs in Iran want a military strike against Israel because, number one, they view Israel as weak right now. Listen to this. But if they, the mullahs, the religious mullahs, if they can attack Israel and destroy Israel from off the map, remember, didn't Iran say these last several years and most recently this summer in July that they want to drive Israel into the Mediterranean? You can read about that. That's a fact that they state it regularly. Now watch this. What if they're thinking that tonight, Israel's weak, if we attack them, if we just lob a limited regional nuclear device over there, kill the Jews, destroy Jerusalem, you'd have to destroy Jerusalem if you're going to kill the Jews. Here's what you get for that. A, you get a preemptive attack that destroys all the Jews, which is according to their agenda. Number two, destroys the Bible and the Christian. You say, how's that? Because Jesus cannot come back to a place that doesn't exist. And then the Quran and Allah will be top dog. There'll be no Bible, because you can't have a Bible that now is all lies, because there's no Jerusalem for Jesus to come back to, says the Bible. And then they wipe out the Palestinians, which the Iranians would love to do because they're Shiites and the Palestinians are Sunnis. You see, well, that's insane. I agree with you. It's totally insane. And that's exactly what they're talking about. You can read about this stuff online, of the agenda behind Iran's attack. You see, what's the point? The point is, at this hour, Israel is viewed as weak right now. America, when viewed as weak, who knows what's going to happen? Is America viewed as weak? Will America be viewed as weak? How's America morally? How's America socially? How's America economically? How is America militarily? These are serious things. I personally believe, and I think you do too, that America, if you look at parallels with Israel, are we, you know, how close are we in what we're reading about here? Did America, has America at all allowed its enemies in? And please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about a migrant, hardworking, and I'm not condoning this either. I my heart goes out to those who come across the border just to work. They just want to work and pick strawberries and work in the field. My heart goes out to them. There's got to be a plan for that. Unfortunately, we know from Homeland Security that that's not all that's been coming up from the South. So exclude the illegal immigrant, exclude him out of the factory. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about those who are undercover, coming up, hidden in the coyote runs, and they mean us harm. Does God know this? Does God know that Hezbollah and Hamas are operating in America? Doesn't God know that Nasrallah is conducting and heading up organizations in the borders of the 48 states of the United States here? That Hamas or Hezbollah is being funded? We know this. You guys, less than 3 miles from here was a major Hamas funding, or Hezbollah funding operation that was shut down. Big time. It's happening. Does God know that? We may not know it, but God knows it. Could there be a parallel that because of our immorality and because of our not wanting God in our community, not wanting God in our life, not wanting God. Could it be? Is it even possible that maybe God would use Jebusites and the like to come into our area, into our world, into our nation? It's possible. I guess God can do anything he wants. But I think personally that the way that things are going, the parallels in the book of Judges, that America's a post-Christian nation. You know, you look at a backslidden nation, look at Great Britain. Remember, it was used to be called Great Britain. Today, England is an empty, hollow shell of what it once was. Once the greatest Christian nation on the face of the earth, England was. What is it today? There's more mosques in England than there is churches in England now. The Bible has been changed for the Quran. England is not a Christian nation, by no stretch. Well, what about America today? Is there any way that America has served other gods? I'm just asking the question. Is there any way? Is there any way that America has prayed to other gods? We have to ask these questions. Is there any way that America worships other gods? We want God's blessings. Do we not want his blessings? Are we not? Look, I don't know all of you here tonight, but chances are you have clothes on. Please say you do. Don't do that to us. You probably have a car or a motorcycle or something. You're probably not hungry. You're probably not homeless. You're blessed. God has blessed America from sea to shiny sea. How long will God continue to bless America when we do what we do to him as a nation? I don't know. The America today is a government that has allowed the worship of other gods. The America today, listen, in America today, and you ask if God should bless us. You ask if we are like Israel of old. We cannot pray to the Lord publicly. When we go to pray at council meetings or something, or you know, we really don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. The land of the free. We cannot quote the Bible. We cannot have the Bible in classrooms without getting major clearance. But the kids are reading Qurans and textbooks. Paid for by you and I. Teaching the scriptures, America today. Remember when we tried to have a Christmas concert with the three wise men from Seattle in our public square and we were told no because it had too much Christmas in it? America. Have you tried to have a Christmas play in public school? When we celebrate Jesus' birthday at Christmas, it's a big deal at this church. We got to get t-shirts made up. We have to make a statement. We have to call stores and find out if they're going to say Merry Christmas or, you know, Happy Kwanzaa Mama or whatever the things are called. I don't know what even it is. We have to, yeah, it's a big deal. Well, we don't want to. It's amazing. Could there be any parallels with what happened to Israel? Hey, does anybody have a brand new dollar, the coin? Anybody have one on you? Do you? Can you grab it? See, where are you going with this? I need a buck. Okay, it's in her other purse. I hear that. Lisa always says that. It's in my other purse. Does anybody have a coin? The new dollar is a coin now. Anybody have it? Kind of pink looking. It's weird looking. Do you have it? Okay, nobody's got it. What are you guys broke? Oh, you have one. Come on up here. Our currency has always said, in God we trust. Honestly, I don't know. Thank you, Barry. I'll give you that back after. It's beautiful, though. It is pretty. Looks fake, though. It looks totally fake. But in God we trust. I'm looking at the coin. The face with George Washington on it. It says George Washington. First president, yikes, 1789. I can't read it. It's too small. But George Washington. Flip. To the back, it says United States of America. Okay, I think I can figure that out. United States of America has the Statue of Liberty and a $1 sign. Okay, that's what it says on it. Hang on. I know. That's what it says in the face. If you read the face, when you slap it on the counter, I just read to you exactly what it says. But to appease the ACLU, it was put on the side. Why the side? It's the first part that wears out, is the sides. Whew. Boy, thank the ACLU. The part that wears out first is the God part. That's a good thing, isn't it? So nobody's offended. We'll put God on the side that nobody reads, that nobody will identify. It's even there. We'll put it on there to shut the Christians up. But Satan can delight in the fact that that's the part that wears off first, is the sides. America's not interested in God anymore. We need to wake up and just be more passionate about our Lord than ever. America doesn't care about the Bible anymore. America wants something new, you guys. America wants something foreign, something unpredictable, something that's different from what our fathers knew. Exactly what Israel did. We don't want the old God of Joshua and Moses. We want something new. We want some of these new gods. And they ran away from the Lord and they pursued other gods. They cashed them in. You may not be doing that, but because our nation is void and vacant, it's bound to political correctness, and don't want to offend anybody. No one has stood up for anything. And so now America's falling for everything. In Psalm 106, verse 13, it says, "But they soon forgot what the Lord had done for them and did not wait for His counsel. In the desert they gave in to their cravings, and in the wasteland they put God to the test. So He gave them what they asked for, but He sent leanness, wasting disease upon their soul." You know what that psalm is about? We are sick of manna. God, we don't want any more of your manna. Remember the children of Israel walking around the desert? God's feeding them every day. Manna, manna, manna. They say, "We're sick of manna." Now look, we probably would have said, "I'm sick of manna too." We probably would have been right there alongside of them. But watch what happens. They complained to God. They didn't like His food. And they said, "We want quail. We want quail." So God's caused a wind to blow, and all these quail started flying in at about 3 feet high and below, just right in the strike zone. And they started whacking with these sticks, these quail, and they started eating. And God gave them what they wanted. "We want quail." God gave them quail, and it said He gave them quail so much it started to come out of their nose. They started gagging on quail. Quail coming out, quail boogers. But He sent leanness into their souls. "We want this." And they got apathetic in their soul. Wow. Verses 8 to 14, "His mercy endures forever." Yes, thank you, Jesus. But listen, by punishing His people in love, God gets their attention. And He does punish. He does discipline in love. Make no mistake about it. He sent them to their room. Is what He did, so to speak. Verse 8 says, "Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served that guy 8 years. When, look at verse 9. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel." You see that? He disciplines them. They go into captivity. They cry. And then God sends them the deliverer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "His Mercy Endures Forever." It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 3, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Last week here on Real Radio, we presented parts of Pastor Jack's series called "Why Jesus?" Of course, it was delivered in the context of Passion Week, wherein we commemorate the suffering of Messiah. Well, we're making that series available on both CD and DVD, whichever you prefer. Now that series, "Why Jesus?" is ideal for your friend or relative or co-worker who may be thinking about receiving and becoming a follower of Jesus, but there may be certain stumbling blocks keeping him from doing so. Well, if you heard last week's editions of Real Radio, you know how well these kinds of issues were dealt with and communicated. So, for your gift to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you "Why Jesus?" Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and specify the CD series or the DVD series. Call us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.